Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. You can thank yourself for the information you're about to learn this evening. In this series, this is number 5 of the Minuteman series. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. My personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And ladies and gentlemen, remember that the Hour of the Time is listener-supported, and without your support, we cannot maintain our presence on the air, on the internet, on the satellite, and we can't expand without your support. We're constantly growing, doing more speaking engagements, and this takes your support, ladies and gentlemen. We avoid corporate sponsorship and commercials, so you get research and programming on the Hour of the Time, not rhetoric and ads. And don't forget, go to our website, hourofthetime.com. A good way to support us is simply going to the shop, the store, the hot shopping cart, what have you. You'll see thousands of audio broadcasts covering a plethora of subjects, DVD presentations, emergency essentials, medical supplies, specials, offers, special audio series. And also, while you're on our website, hourofthetime.com, don't forget to go to the Conference 2007 page. There you'll see all the details on our upcoming conference in August. You still have plenty of time to get registered and make your plans to come out and attend. You need to attend, ladies and gentlemen, to learn the skills that are going to be necessary in the coming times. If you don't, you have no one else to blame but yourself. We've made the most affordable seminar that there can possibly be. You won't get this information anywhere else at this price. A week straight, meals included, all your learning materials that you take home. Last year, there was 3 brand new books issued out by different speakers as part of your materials, their PowerPoint presentations on CD to every student, binders, almost 300 pages in the binders alone, plus notebooks, pens, pencils, all that, so you don't have to worry about bringing any of that stuff with you. And to make it easier for your travel home, we help you make arrangements on the last day to ship stuff, if you like, so you can travel lightly when you return. All paid attendees next week will be getting their informational packets that include maps, points of interest, routes, times, dates, schedules, the whole 9 yards. In fact, commentary from people who had been to the conferences before and the conference areas before, once we started these new packets last year at the conference, people that thought they knew all about the area and what could be done in their off time, and things to see, ways in and out, as far as travel routes, all told me that they learned a whole bunch just from that information packet. Those will be going out next week to all paid attendees. And as soon as someone comes in after next week, it doesn't matter, I'll send the packet out to them. But that'll be the bulk of the mailing next week. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, tonight we're continuing on with the Minuteman series. This is part 5 in the series. After the musical break, I'll give you a brief recap of what was covered in part 4. And then we'll continue on with the new information. And that way it'll kind of tie it together, and hopefully you're taking the studious notes. And remember, the best way, though, for you to get all the detailed information is simply donate for the broadcast or wait till the series is done and get the whole set, because then you can listen to it over and over again and study it. Make more notes. Get organized. Get proactive in the fight to restore our constitutional republic and all our freedoms. All of North America is the focus of attack for world socialism at this time. So you better wake up and realize that fact. Or you're going to find yourself in a line getting on a rail car to a concentration camp. Now we're going to go to the musical break, like I say. This gives you a chance to get your notebooks if you haven't done so already. Get organized, get ready. It'll be just about 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here, Minuteman Part 5, with your host Doyle Shamley here in Eager, Arizona. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com. The address, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. And the email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, to recap briefly, Part 4's broadcast. You learned more of the principles of unit and personal security, ladies and gentlemen. The principle of time. And then a sound security program, three elements of that: system, supervision, and action. So you have a whole list of principles, ladies and gentlemen. Deception, classification, obedience, continuous inspection, avoiding attention, fluid change, time. You learned a whole list of practical security measures, and how to avoid mail covers, etc. How to use an enemy that may strike in our country, whether domestic or foreign, whether standing army in the form of an invasion, or agent provocateurs and foreign troops already within our borders striking. You've learned a whole list of measures on how to protect yourselves, your groups, and your movement to fight back against enemies of the Republic and our Constitution that may strike to defend our freedoms. Again, that leads into more testing, which only will be available to those when we start doing some special offers later in the series. That really show you are interested in being proactive. We also give you some real-life scenarios of actual events and occurrences that have happened. Then we got into propaganda and its use, how it can be used against you and how you can use it effectively, and the real definitions of propaganda, where the word came from, the different terms used by different countries that really mean the same thing. And in the science of propaganda, eight of the key points that must be considered. So now let's go on to the purpose of propaganda. There are many different possible objectives of propaganda: to improve the morale of one's own troops, to spur friendly civilians to greater production efforts, to help make the people willingly accept the hardships of war, to convince our people of justice of our own cause, to build confidence in our own organization, to sustain belief in our political system, to develop contempt for the enemy, to convince non-committed neutrals that we are right and our enemies are wrong, to convince neutral troops that our side will win, that they should join the winning side, to demoralize the enemy, to destroy the enemy's confidence in their leaders, to convince the enemy that their ultimate defeat is inevitable. And these are just but a few, ladies and gentlemen. But most important is to decide in advance exactly what effect is desired from each particular propaganda message and arrange all other factors toward the achievement of that end. And the purpose should be kept simple and realistic. Now let's consider the audience, ladies and gentlemen. Careful consideration must be given to both the desired audience and the actual audience which will be reached by a given message. There is obviously little to be gained by urging the citizens of Brazil to vote Democratic or in urging the citizens of Japan to vote the straight Republican ticket. The audience selected must be able to react in the desired way so as to achieve the purpose. And the message must be designed to achieve the desired effect in those people that it actually reaches. If a message and propaganda is to be most effective, it must be directed to a specific audience. One, at the enemy, to convert, to confuse, to destroy morale, to misdirect. Two, at neutrals, to recruit, to gain support, to prevent them from helping the enemy. Three, at our own people, to boost morale, to build courage, develop a fighting spirit with confidence in victory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some may question, why is all this talk about propaganda? Because it's used, ladies and gentlemen, extensively by socialists against the American people. You have to know how to recognize it and know how to use it back. Now we want to consider the means of delivery. There are several ways to do this, and some of the various media that can be used are television, radio, newspaper, magazines, books, pamphlets, leaflets, billboards, mail, public meetings, rumors, demonstrations, telephone solicitations. You've seen them all in action. Those can be used by both sides. Now, many of them, though, have nil effect compared to others. So we're going to cover some of the key ones. Somehow they're used effectively by major money powers, and how they're pretty much unrealistic for the use of a Minuteman underground freedom movement. So let's start with television. And it's perhaps the most powerful media available for propaganda in the United States. It's been proven so, and it's used daily, ladies and gentlemen. Tests have shown that more people will believe a piece of so-called news told them by the TV commentator than if they read it in the newspaper. But the communist socialist conspiracy has infiltrated the television media deeply and is using it with great skill in promoting a subtle version of the communist line. And the actual opportunities of good American patriots and Minutemen to use television to give our side of the story is basically completely limited. The expense of even 30 seconds or maybe a few minutes on a very off hour in the middle of the night on some oddball channel is prohibitively expensive for almost all bands. And even if you could afford those few minutes one time, the effect would be so small compared to the amount of time the socialists dump on the television, which they often receive free or are sponsored by leftist organizations throughout the country. That massive amount of money spent for a few minutes compared to hundreds of hours getting overrode by the other side could be spent better in other ways. Sometimes guest programs and public broadcasting, though, do offer a patriotic organization a chance to get some airtime. But generally, due to studio constraints, internal audits, splice tapes, biased moderators, improper lighting on purpose, and a host of other tricks of the trade, they are generally used to make the patriot guests look ridiculous. Now, newspapers and magazines are probably the next two most potent forms of propaganda used in the United States. But just like television, they are largely controlled by socialists. Now, newspapers are somewhat more susceptible to local control because of the dependence upon local advertising for their income. But considerable amount of tact is required to gain the cooperation of advertisers in this respect. And if approached the wrong way, most of them will probably spring to the defense of the offending publication. Now, this doesn't mean to say, and I'm not saying that patriots, Minuteman movements, and freedom movements should just abandon the three most powerful forms of media in the country and give them up to the enemies. There's several committees that can be joined, and local groups in any major area and their bands should do that. Their committees, for instance, of responsible journalism. And there's a plethora of these committees out there. And what these committees do is they monitor local TV stations, newspapers, list of advertisers of the media are compiled with addresses and telephone numbers. And these can be observed by being on these committees, and you can make note of particularly horrendous propaganda campaigns against the American people for the socialist agenda. Then, with the lists that are kept anyway by the committee, a very courteous phone call could be made asking for retractions of false statements or for equal time on an issue. You should be careful, though, to not alienate individual publishers, journalists, and radio announcers by rudely denouncing them. Few are actual communists, but they've been bred in the field to carry a socialist agenda. And many of them can be reached if they actually heard the other side. With a courteous and logical persuasive conversation and well-written so-called news releases about local patriotic activities can oftentimes get even in leftist papers and news media, and papers especially if it's presented at the local level to the local editor. Now, radio is another one to consider, obviously. But there's been a big change in radio in the last two decades. Much less time devoted to live programming and much more to pre-recorded music or simulcast from one place to maybe multiple stations all over a given state or region. And that's dropped its potency as a propaganda media in the United States due to the fact that if a man is part of a network and it sounds like a morning show and it may seem like he's right here because you're listening to the local station, but he's simulcast through a network owned by a communications firm, he isn't covering the things that are important to the local area. They're generalities. And as we've shown many times, hundreds and hundreds of times in the past on Hour of the Time, much of radio's effort, shortwave, whatever it might be, from so-called patriotic programming has often lost all of its effect because of the horrendous research that's done and thoroughly careless presentation of the research and support of it. Using rumors, emails, faxes, whatever your buddies, cousins, friends, coworker called in and told you about, and then announcing it as a fact. Now, some stations, however, often carry audience participation lines or programs every day. And this is where the listener can phone in and air their views. And if it's planned properly by a Minuteman or Underground Freedom Movement, it can be used quite effectively if planned properly. Using these programs, again, can be quite effective. So your local band or unit of Minutemen to fight back against the socialist usurpation of our rights and constitution and our freedoms can organize and plan. But to be effective, you have to consider all the aspects: presentation, motive, continuity, specific purpose, etc. And you may need to make sure that if you're using these open-air public programs to not just jump out and offend the radio announcer because the engineers will just screen you out next time. And in fact, to the contrary, the effort should be made to gain his sympathy for a pro-American cause, a pro-freedom cause. There has been much talk about amateur radio operators, and many have tried talking back and forth, hoping someone is listening in while dispensing pro-freedom information. But experience has shown us over the last decade that the audience that can be attained is not worth the time or money involved in the effort. And for an underground freedom movement, radio should be reserved for a means of communication. Remember, do not wear something out. And when the time comes of a full socialist strike, either from foreign or domestic enemies of our country, by not wearing out the frequencies and the transmitters, I don't mean physically wearing them out, I mean using them to the point that everybody knows who to target. Save them for important communications. Remember? Avoid idle chatter. Many of the more powerful transmitters can be converted to other frequencies quite easily and used quickly for a freedom movement. You know, many people look to movies. Oh, I'm going to make a movie. There's one of the biggest shills out there who's done this twice to the American people. I can't believe how many people gobble up his bullshit. But most of the most influential writers that have the pool, the actors, the directors, the studios, have known communist and socialist affiliations. Little can be done about this, ladies and gentlemen. They own it. It's their right to own it. And if they don't want to give you the motion picture time, they're not going to. Now, much can be done nowadays with computers to produce patriotic message DVDs at home on the computer and then set up with someone who has the ability to get them mass duplicated with professional covers, etc., like Hour of the Time, like we've done. And then you can have some effect. But as far as the typical motion picture industry, about all you can do is just boycott, write a letter, and not support the most brazen propaganda efforts in films. One thing that has proven effective is when a particular film that is obviously socialist propaganda is playing in a particular theater is for a local band of freedom-loving Americans to just simply hand out flyers and handbills in front of the theater. It's legal. And that's very effective quite often. But this must be done by members whose political beliefs are already known. Remember, we told you how to categorize yourself and other members. Or done in such a way that the identity of a secure member and his family and friends is not compromised. Now we're going to cover this one in greater detail later again, but printed material, leaflets, booklets, that's probably the largest current media for the patriotic side of the story. And for that very reason, they should be given special care as far as the printing, the artwork, etc. Now, also with that, and here we are again back to mail. Mail is the principal means of delivery for patriotic or freedom-oriented literature. And it has certain advantages. Flexibility, Comparative certainty of delivery, speed, compared to driving across the country, etc. But generally, it is more expensive per thousand, let's say 1,000 people receiving it, or 1,000 members in the audience, than magazine or newspaper. And there is actually a real science to mass mailings, or to direct mail advertising. And there's firms that are quite expensive that can teach you all this, or you can learn it through the hard way, the School of Hard Knocks. Some of the things to consider is how to reach the right people, how to gain readership, and how to produce action. How to test the effectiveness of small mailings before going to the expense of large mailings. How to compare relative expense with relative effectiveness of first-class mail versus some of the slower and lower rates. How do you attract special attention to your pieces of mail? How to increase the believability of your mail message? How to acquire an effective mailing list and keep it up to date? Now, if you go to your local library, you can probably find at least one book on direct mail advertising. There's been several written. Several good ones, actually. And it should be studied carefully before spending any of the small amounts of money you may have on mailing literature. Demonstrations. That's another category. So-called environmental and peace marches, picketing, and similar demonstrations have been quite effectively used by the socialists. And these demonstrations serve in their cell organization as a primary media to distribute their message. And secondly, they gain publicity for the group putting on the demonstration. Now, for the socialists, picketing is a very historic thing, and it serves both as a means of propaganda and a way of mentally conditioning their own people to further action. But these same tactics can and should be used by patriotic organizations to counter demonstrations, if you will. Now, often you'll see posters and billboards, and you'll see the flyers hung up on all over town, a blanketing. But they're so commonplace on telephone poles, bulletin boards. Go to a local market, a town square, a theater or nighttime area where there's clubs and nighttime activities, post offices, and look at the bulletin boards and look how overwhelming they get. There's so much stuff on them. But if they're used in other ways, with more blatant messages, and a contact P.O. box, different than any other P.O. box, then they can be quite effective. And actually, per dollar spent, when the flyer is done in the right way, few patriotic campaigns have had so wide an audience as simple flyers and posters hung up in public places. Oftentimes, these were done in things like the Minuteman Press out of Porterville, California, with their bold headlines, and images and statements and quotes and facts and stories on college campuses, on bulletin boards, and then surreptitiously at night to be most effective. So that the next morning, as the business world awakes and students arrive on campus, and people begin milling around the area, suddenly there's all these posters. And the word of mouth gets around. Hey, did you see this? Look at this. I found this on the bulletin board this morning. And newspaper coverage even of such things like the Minuteman Press, talking of the mysterious posters and the message they carried, was all free advertising, ladies and gentlemen. I happen to personally know. Now, public meetings. These can be of various types, and we've done all of them. I spoke at one engagement in New Mexico recently that had 400 people. Then another one in southern Arizona that I knew was more of a hometown meeting in a small area, and there was 21 people. I don't care. Smaller crowds are actually better to me because I can really look in their faces and eyes and convey the message. And I can actually hand the literature out. It's not on a table up front in a lobby. But there are different ways. Large mass rallies require planning, preparation, and careful management. But when they are done, and we did tons of these in the early 90s and mid-90s, all over California and Nevada and Arizona, huge engagements. We had Preparedness Expo. We had 5,000 attendees. Not only were all the vendors there with their booths, but we had speakers, keynote speakers throughout the day for different topics from around the country, experts in their subject matter. At the same time, we had in side rooms of the convention facility classes people could go to. Everything from how to use and maintain a gas mask to cleaning weapons to suturing to CPR to storing food. Bill and I did a symbology conference, which we kept small intentionally because of the questions would be very intricate. And we had to cut the doors off at 200. We could have let it get huge, but it wouldn't have served much point. And it was a 16-hour symbology conference, 8 hours on Saturday, 8 hours on Sunday. Very effective because we were able to touch the audience. Other rallies that we'd done, we had 5,000 at a speaking engagements. Very effective. The right speaker on the right topic at the right time, and everything done properly, leaflets in the lobby or wherever it might be, on the Ramada in a park, with the right persons and members of a band handing them out. Don't get some idiot fool out there. Be the first contact with the public that's arriving, because you'll already turn them off before they've even heard the first word. But with the right emotional pitch, the right speaker at the right time with the right topic and presented it in a manner that's according to even maybe the area or audience, you can really rouse local support. Probably in a way that's impossible by any other means. But meetings should never be held simply for the sake of holding one. Well, we've had one the last 2 months in a row on the last Friday of the month. Look how successful they were, so we better figure out one for this month. Don't just go conjure something up. Like any form of media or delivery system, they should be designed to produce action, not just be done so you can meet a schedule or set a trend. The meeting should have a definite purpose. It should appeal to certain motives and seek to achieve certain objectives. Telephones. I know many of you out there, just like me, get these idiotic solicitations. And what I'd love to do is when they call and it's some socialist wanting to ask me about my thoughts of some government program and they can't hardly speak English in the first place, I love to notify them that they've called a radio network and I'm putting them on the air so the whole audience can hear them. I generally don't even get a buy, but I just get a click and a hang up. But if a series of phone calls were to be done, not offending the person called, appealing to selective motives and items and information, having a predetermined purpose that will result in an action, and they can be quite effective. The United States has more phones than the rest of the world put together. And the underground movement, the freedom movement preparing to defend our Constitution, the Minuteman movement against enemies both foreign and domestic who are setting up our country for a strike, are predominantly male. And the typical profile, are they predominantly married? There are thousands of what you could call the kitchen militia. And that isn't meant to be derogatory. That was invented by a very dear and longtime patriot lady, that term. There are tons of wives that could be making calls to help the freedom movement. And as far as the different categories, white, gray, or black propaganda, are concerned, they are used quite effectively by the other side and should be used by the patriotic side as well. But always remember, careful selection, always. The predetermined purpose, the selected motives, it has to achieve an objective or action. But always remember to select the proper media to get it to the proper audience in a manner most likely to achieve action. We don't want to just talk to someone and waste their time or hand them a flyer so they can go toss it in the floorboard of their car and it gets tossed when they get home or next time they hit the car wash. Now let's talk about a few of these areas. Motive, ladies and gentlemen. Well, actually, ladies and gentlemen, first we're going to take a musical break. I need a drink of water. So, voice is getting a little scratchy. So, we're going to take a musical break here. I want you to get yourself ready again after this 2 or 3 minute break. And be prepared to take more notes in this part 5 of our Minuteman series. And remember, you're listening to The Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, Minuteman Part 5 in our series this evening. The website, hourofthetime.com. Don't forget about the hot shopping cart. We are listener-supported. And especially don't forget about the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, our annual conferences, each year being different and unique. Conference 2007, look at the page. Become involved. Now, motive, which we were getting into. Very little human activity, ladies and gentlemen, takes place without reason. Sometimes a person's motive for doing a certain thing may seem simple and obvious. And at other times, and I'm sure we've all seen this, people act from motives so complex that they themselves aren't even certain as to why they behave in a certain manner. Now, animal behavior is basically motivated by two basic instincts: preservation of self and preservation of species. But obviously in much higher beings like us, or I hope most of America still is, above animal instinct level, although sometimes I doubt it, they can be categorized a little farther. And this, we're talking survival instincts here, basically. Preservation of self could be broke down into hunger and thirst. A, for instance. B, defense against attack. C, if you will, avoiding unfavorable environments such as excess heat, cold, etc. Abuse. And as far as the preservation of species is concerned, and the survival instincts, it's basically broke down into the reproductive, biological urgings, the mother instinct, if you will, the herd instinct, if you will, birds of a feather flock together, for instance. But basically, these core instincts develop the motive of competition, both with other groups or other individuals. Now let's look at some of the basic acts of how humans tend to behave. And I know these may seem like oversimplifications, but if you think about it, don't you see it quite often? A person may pass food by on occasion rather than spoil his appetite, if you will. Or he may eat to excess because he enjoys the flavor of certain foods. And also, we talked about defense against attack. But it's not just meaning only defense against physical attack, but against emotional attack, intellectual attack. If you don't believe me, look how people avoid areas that they know are wrong, but they think they're intellectually outgunned instead of speaking up. Or boards, or committee meetings, or council meetings, maybe at the city and county and state level, legislator meetings, thinking, well, I'm not worthy of saying anything. So they avoid it. Or look at duels that have been fought throughout history. That was usually just fought to avenge an attack on one's honor or reputation. And man has become very particular about his environment, softened because of the ease that we've had. So that we seek now surroundings that are aesthetically pleasing, physically comfortable, etc. The herd instinct we mentioned, it still shows itself whenever you get a crowd, mob environment. large gatherings, concerts, shows of a particular interest. Take a car show. The attendees that paid to get in the door are obviously interested in the subject at hand, and you can see that herd instinct. Cocktail parties. Even in just camaraderie, friendship, you can see it in organizations. The mother instinct, as it is called by some professionals, also obviously includes the father, love of his own offspring, and the mother and father's just general natural fondness of other children even. There's a particular place where me and a friend occasionally go, and we were there last night, and the owners have two little Chinese children, and they are a hoot to watch, and I end up tending to watch and observe them playing and acting out things they saw and doing their homework even and how they interact. And they speak perfect English, don't get me wrong. In fact, they have to study Chinese. But they're not my children. But you see where this comes from and where it goes? And human behavior is obviously quite complex and a lot broader than what I've just done. I know that. But these six basic areas are very powerful forces in all people's lives. And a message that skillfully appeals to one of these instincts has a good chance of success. The socialist-controlled media has become quite astute at doing this. And we, the Minuteman patriotic movement, needs to do the same. Let's look at a few of them. How about the desire for a new experience? What would that be? Maybe relief from boredom? Relief from the mundane, intellectual challenge, physical challenge. How about a desire for recognition? That comes with that basic social need for prestige and acknowledgement. How about creative urges? Curiosity. Many follow a desire to acquire money and personal possessions. And that doesn't need to be a bad thing. That can be a baseball card collector, a gun collector, coin collector, stamp collector, what have you. Maybe you collect vases or old antique mason jars. But it's that desire to acquire personal possessions to satisfy an inside urging. And all of these are very powerful motivating factors, ladies and gentlemen. If properly applied, stand a good chance of obtaining the desired action from the person or persons to whom they are directed. And in addition to these basic instincts and motivations, all people, I believe, are affected by a diversity of emotions. Some show up more than others. Some show certain emotions more than others. Fear, hate, love, jealousy, greed, pity, sorrow, etc. Fear, probably, at one time, was predominantly related entirely to the danger of physical harm. But nowadays, a person may actually fear more so the loss of his personal possessions, the thieving of his properties. Hate, it can direct a situation that could provoke fear and direct it toward an aggressive action. It's been used by politicians and statesmen, as they call themselves, through the ages, to fomigate wars, disenfranchisement, angst. There are various kinds of love out there, and they all include various portions of maybe what you might call the sex urge, the herding instinct, the maternal instinct, care for your fellow man. And jealousy falls in with the competitive instinct. It's just one of the basic developments and stages and occurrences of that ever-continuing struggle and fight for survival amongst ourselves as individuals, a species, what have you. Greed comes from the hoarding instinct. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing. It's also been classified as coming from the hoarding instinct. Is it a bad thing to hoard some extra food and put it away for a future need? Unemployment, you lose a job, you get injured, have no way to earn money, at least you can eat. And then what little money you can earn or save can go towards your shelter and warmth. Sorrow, of course, results from the loss of something valued to a person, a possession, an idea, an entity, or a cherished companion. And a thing called transference occurs when a situation that would cause sorrow, if it happened to maybe you or I, will elicit, if it happens to someone else, an emotion of pity from us. See how that comes around? And this very mental process is how a person may transfer a love for his people or his neighbors or his fellow man into a love for his land, his country, the ideals. Emotions like patriotism, loyalty, they're very complex mixtures of the more fundamental instincts we just covered. And they probably differ greatly than any other from one person to another, not only in intensity, but even in meaning. We've devoted a lot of time to motivation of a propaganda message because without it, it's worthless. To be effective, propaganda must strongly and skillfully appeal to one or more of the basic motivating factors. Or loss of one of the basic motivating factors. So I think if you think carefully about what I said, you can see how the socialists have used this against the American public quite effectively to try to transform our country, to set us up, which they're doing now for a final strike. And you can see how we can use this to fight back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we're going to cover today. There's been lots of notes, lots of details. Remember, you can always refresh yourself and help the Hour of the Time at the same time by donating for the broadcast. Or I guess you could be one of those cheap socialist leeches and just record the podcast and never help. But you'll reap what you sow. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for listening to the Hour of the Time. P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925, the website hourofthetime.com, the studio number 928-333-2942, and we still haven't had a proper guest on the Minuteman.